This past week, I did one of my least favorite things. I went to the dentist. And it reminded me of the story here. A woman and her husband interrupted their vacation to go to the dentist. "I want a tooth pulled, and I don't want any painkillers because I'm in a big hurry," the woman said. "Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible, and we'll be on our way." The dentist was quite impressed. "You're certainly a courageous woman," he said. "Which tooth is it?" The woman turned to her husband and said, "Show him your tooth, dear." Thankfully, Kathy has never done that to me. But last Sunday, I said that I was going to be doing two sermons on living positively. I'm encouraged that some of you actually came back. That's good. It's so important that we live positively. And we're basing this out of Romans, the 8th chapter. Last week, we looked at three reasons why we live positively. We can live without condemnation. We can live without domination. Nothing controls us except Jesus. And we can live without desperation, no matter what is going on in our lives. We need to learn to live positively. And today I have three more things that we're going to live without to help us live positively. You see, our positive demeanor, our positive attitude, and our positive disposition is what really turns a light on in a dark world. Because most of the world around us is just naturally negative. The news is negative. The newspapers are negative. News on TV, social media, your phone, it's all negative. Your friends, your family can be negative. And I suppose that all of you work where everyone at your work is so positive about their job. No, you know better than that. You would think something had gone crazy with them if they all came in positive in the morning when they went to work. And so we live in a negative world. It's a natural thing. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to work at it. It's natural to be negative. It's unnatural to be positive. You intentionally think about it, and after you get into this with Jesus Christ, then you become a positive person. And so today, based on Romans 8, I want to talk about three things that we live without because we are positive in Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked last week, the recurring theme from the Apostle Paul is in Christ. We live in Christ. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. Or you can look at the notes in your bulletin. That scripture is actually written out in your bulletin on the notes part. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So number one in your notes, we can live without miscalculation from God. We can live without miscalculation from God. We do not stumble aimlessly and accidentally. God is in control. He does not miscalculate. Now, there are a lot of things that can happen in our life that we do not know are coming. But nothing happens in our life as Christians that catches God off guard. Nothing. It may come unexpectedly to you. It may come as a surprise to you, but not to God. God does not miscalculate your life. He's in control of it. That's why we can be so positive when things happen. Even when evil and bad and negative things happen to you, the power of God takes those things in a believer's life, and like a knitting needle, he weaves them into the fabric of his purpose and will. Even when they are contrary to his will and contrary to the will of your life, God takes those things and he weaves them into a pattern and purpose of his will for your life. And so we are positive people. Really, is it any wonder that we're positive? Because everything that is happening to us, we know that God is in control and God is working with it. And I know some things are going on right now in many of your lives, and you're saying, I hope somehow he gives some meaning to what's happening to me because I don't deserve what's happening. A lot of things happen to Christians that they don't deserve. And I don't know where you are, but whatever is happening, God is in control of your life as a believer, as his child. And whatever is coming, some of it from your own miscalculation, but not the miscalculation of your Heavenly Father, he's working in your life. And so with each one of these this morning, I'm going to give you a fact. And here's the fact for this one. God is working his purpose in my problems. Behind my problems, it's the purpose of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want to tell you two things that this verse does not say. Sometimes we confuse this. Number one, it does not say that all things are good. There's a lot of bad things going on in the world, and a lot of them touch your life. Some of you have come from a very bad home life, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It doesn't mean that all things are good. And two, it doesn't mean that everything is going to turn out the way you planned. To me, this is why it's exciting to live for the Lord, because he's at work even when things don't turn out the way I think they should or the way I just knew they were. Not everything's going to turn out the way you planned, and not everything going on in your life is going to have a happy ending in this life. What does it say? And so I want to take this scripture and tell you what it says. Paul says, for we know. That's emphatic. You notice it didn't say, for we hope, or for we wish, or for we desire, or for we imagine. Paul is saying, we know these things. That's a powerful statement. What do we know? What does it say? It says we know that all things work together for good. How many things? All things. That's an inclusive term. That's 360 degrees of your life surrounding you. All things going on. All things work together. I want to ask you, does that include everything? Yes, with an exclamation mark. Yes, yes, yes. All things. Does that include your job loss? Yes. Does that include your illness? Yes. Does that include your divorce? Yes. Does that include your miscarriage? Yes. That includes everything. We know that all things that are happening work together for good. I just hope you really understand that. All things work together. They're interrelated. They're connected. They're contributing to one another. All things are working together. All things individually are not good. There are some things that you could point to in your life that aren't good, and I would agree with you. As with many of you, Kathy and I have got some things going on in our lives right now. They're not good, but they're working together for good. We know that. I know that about the power of God and his love and his grace overshadowing the believer's life. They are working together. Have you ever looked at needlepoint? Underneath, there are a bunch of knots and loose threads. And you look at it and you say, what is that? And that's the side we see of life. We see the underside. God sees the picture. He knows what's going on. You don't, but he does. But you know that all things are working together. Over the last several years, I've done a fair amount of celebration of life services. And one of the things I give an example, people sometimes say, you know, why did somebody pass away when they did, or why did they have the sickness, or what? And we don't really know the answer. And the illustration I give is, looking through a knot hole in a fence. When we look at through a knot hole in a fence, you're looking at a cedar fence there, and all you're seeing is really, literally what's right in front of you. You can't see over here, you can't see over here. But God is looking over the fence, and he sees the whole picture. Nothing is catching God by surprise in your life. He sees it from the beginning to the end. He sees the whole thing. All things are working together for your good. There's no miscalculation in the Christian life. So I have a question for you. Can God bring good out of evil in your life? Does God bring good out of evil? Yes, he does. He brings good out of evil. He brings good out of evil intentions towards you. He brings good out of evil circumstances surrounding you. He brings good out of the evil that touches your life. I'll give you a biblical illustration. I'm not going to use Joseph, although that would be a very good illustration, when he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." But I want you to think about the first chapter of Matthew. And if you're not familiar, it's the genealogy of Jesus. Twice in the New Testament, they give you the genealogy of Jesus. One in Luke and one in Matthew. Now in Matthew, it starts with Abraham and it comes all the way down to Mary. The Jewish concept of genealogy was always from the male side. And other than Mary and Matthew, the first chapter, going back to the genealogy of Jesus, there are four women who are mentioned. This is a little unusual because it was usually only the males. But there are four women mentioned. And I want you to think about these four women and what the Bible says about God working good out of evil. The first one was Tamar, way back in Genesis. Tamar was seduced by her own father-in-law and gave birth to a child. The second one was Rahab. Remember the prostitute, the harlot of Jericho? There she is in the genealogy of Jesus. The third one is Ruth, an alien, a foreigner, a Moabite from the land of Moab, not Jewish, but a Moabite who comes into the land of Judah, and guess what? She marries a Jewish man illegally. And the last one mentioned is the wife of Uriah. That's what it says in the genealogy, the wife of Uriah. Her name was Bathsheba, in case you forgot her name, who along with David is an adulterer. Tamar, seduced by her father-in-law, Rahab, a prostitute, Ruth, a foreigner, and Bathsheba, an adulterer with David. God works good out of bad things, even in the genealogy of Jesus. The Bible never tries to sugarcoat or gloss over things for the public. It just tells you the way it is. This is it. God is in control. And so we're positive because there's no miscalculation. There may be limitations to our wisdom and understanding, but not with God. He's at work. Now, before I leave this first one here, I want to tell you that it does not say that this is true of the unbelieving world, that all things work together for good to them that are unbelievers. It does not say that. The unbelieving world does not have this promise, and they do not have this reality. The unbelieving world does bad things, has bad things happen to them, and they suffer bad things. But the Christian, that's why we're so positive. God can take anything that's coming into our lives, and he can work it into his will and purpose for our lives. He's that powerful. He's that creative, and that's why we're so positive. Because our life is under his control and our trust is in him. Not in ourselves, in our wisdom, not in the mores of our society, but in him. The second thing I want to give you out of Romans 8th chapter is in verse 31. And again in your notes. What then shall we say in response to this? Get this. If God is for us, who can be against us? So number two there, our lives are free from intimidation. Our lives are free from intimidation. If God is for us, who can be against us? We can live without intimidation. You know, words become vogue or popular back in the 50s and 60s. The big word in those days was fantastic. Everything's fantastic. How'd you do on the test? Fantastic. We were flunking out the whole time. Fantastic. Then the big word in the 70s was meaningful. That was a meaningful experience. Then in the 80s, it was awesome. That was very awesome. You know, I wouldn't pretend to know what the popular word is in society today with this generation. But here's a word I want to emphasize today. Incredible. That's what the Christian life is in this world in which we live. It's incredible. If God is for us, who can be against us? I'll give you a formula. God plus you equals majority. In any circumstance, in any situation, in any trial, any setback, God plus you equals a majority. You're in control. And so we have this life without intimidation. I know that most of you are totally convinced that God loves you. But the love of God is the most powerful thing on this earth, expressed through Jesus Christ. God loves you. But what a lot of you have not come around to understand is that he not only loves you, he wants the best for you. He is for you. A lot of you know that God really loves me. But really, I think he's trying to trip me up. I know he loves me, but he's letting things get messed up. He likes to see me squirm. I know God loves me, but every now and then he seasons me with some guilt. No, he doesn't. God is not trying to trick you. He's not trying to mess things up in your life. He's not trying to load you down with guilt. He is for you. In Ezekiel 36, when the children of Israel were in captivity, and he was telling them about coming back to the land, they would come back and they would inhabit the land, would have houses and crops and cattle and everything. And he says, "For I am with you." I'm sorry, he says, "For I am for you." I wish that that could come home to the heart of every believer. God is for you. He wants the best for you. He wills the best for you. His power is available for the best for you. You know, one of the most devastating emotions for a human being is fear. Psychologists have determined in the United States the population lives with over 465 separate fears. Guess what? You do not have to live with fear. The fact is this: I'm no longer afraid of anything. I have a question for you. What is it that you fear the most in your life? Is it the future? Is it the unknown? Is it failure? I fear I'm going to be a failure. Is it criticism? You won't live very much in this world today without criticism. No matter what you do for the name and the glory of God, even in this church, will not be free from criticism. If everybody was totally for you, you would know there'd be something wrong. Is it rejection? What is it that you fear the most? Believers, if you have committed your heart to Jesus Christ and you seek to serve him and honor him, you do not have to live with fear. Is it death? Maybe yours? A spouse? A child? A parent? A friend? God will see you through. You don't have to fear that. Isn't that great? I don't have to be afraid of that. God will see me through. In verse 37 of the same chapter, it says, "For we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." The last one I'll give you quickly, verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, generously give you all things?" So number three in your notes, you can live a life without limitations. Live a life without limitations. What is Paul saying here when he writes this? That he who gave his own son for us all. The biggest problem you're ever going to have in all of life, God has already solved that problem for you because he gave everything heaven could give when he gave us his son. And his son came to this earth and he took care of the sin problem in your life. You were estranged from God the Father and he broke it. And now you're at one with God and in a relationship with him. You are God's child. God took care of the big problem. That's what Paul's saying. If he can do that, everything else in comparison is a minor problem. If he can take care of the sin in my life and forgive me and cleanse me and live within me and give me victory in this life and the hope of heaven, everything else in comparison is minor. And Paul is saying, if he can do that, will he not much more, along with Christ, give you everything? He'll take care of everything. He'll take care of it. If God can give us Christ, and he can take care of the biggest problem in the history of the world, in the history of your life, and he can make you right with him, and that price can be paid, then he can help you with your unpaid bills. He can help you with your difficult child. He can help you with that difficult circumstance from which you do not seem to be able to extricate yourself. If he can do that, he can do all these other things. Here's the fact. God can meet my needs. Philippians, the fourth chapter in the 19th verse says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." The greatest thing the world has ever known is Jesus Christ. And that same power, that same gift that took care of the number one problem for Mansell Tiss is available to take care of all the other problems in my life. Psalms 84:11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing will he withhold. Listen to me, young people. God's got some no good things for you if you will follow him. We're always thinking about what we want. Remember, no good thing. God's got your best interest at heart. There's no limitations. God saved your soul. He can do anything else. It's really just a mopping up affair on the problems of your life. He's already taken care of everything for you. And no good thing will he withhold if what? From those who walk uprightly. So I'm going to put it real bluntly. Keep your life pure and keep it right and keep it acceptable. Acceptable to God. And I want to tell you something. If you do that, it's wide open what God will do. You cannot believe what God will do. And so we're positive people as Christians because there is no miscalculation going on in our life. There's no intimidation in our life, and there's no limitations either. God's got everything under control. He'll take care of things. God will take care of you. And when you know this, and you know that everything has been taken care of, and God is at work, no matter what bad things happen to me, God is going to work it out. He's going to work it into his will. He's going to keep you going. He's going to keep you on track. He's going to fulfill his purpose in your life. We can't help be anything but positive, and the world needs it. Before we close in prayer, I have a request for all of you this morning. Would you take your positiveness tomorrow morning to your workplace, to your school, with your family, with your friends? Remember this, our positive demeanor, our positive attitude, our positive disposition is what really turns a light on in a very dark world. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power and the promise of your word. We know it's true. We know that it's eternal. But Lord, we know that you will keep us in any and all circumstances. We ask today specifically that you would be with us and people who have been dealing with this cloud of miscalculation, that their lives would be turned over to you. And Father, we pray that you would keep them and guide them. And any person that is intimidated by any circumstance, person, or thing in this world, through the power of Jesus Christ, they will more than conquer. Drive that home in our hearts, that you will meet every need in our life that needs to be met to fulfill your will. In the name of Christ, we thank you. Amen.